At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, a good 20 minutes in, and looking forward to talking to Grant Forrester about yesterday. And while we look forward to Grant, let me get a few other bits and pieces in as well. And we'll save the Churchill stuff because there are a couple. There were a couple of maiden races that are certainly worth noting. I guess we don't have to vamp at all and wait for Grant Forrester because he's with us right now. And much like the conversation we had with Joe O about Imprimis getting DQ'd and getting a chance to come back and win, and in his case, get ready to move on toward Breeders' Cup. In this particular case, it's an opportunity to congratulate Grant after Pirate's Punch was DQ'd out of the Islin win. And luckily, the Salvatore Mile came up next, and the Grade 3, not just a Grade 3, but a very historic race in its own right, the Salvatore Mile. And Grant joins us now. Congratulations.
Thanks so much, Steve. Great to be on with you.
I'm delighted for you, and we had a couple of funny exchanges after the DQ, which, you know, much like what happened with Joe O, was controversial and questionable. Talk a little bit about the takedown back in August, first of all.
Sure. I mean, it's nobody likes to see that happen, and it's always it's always frustrating and disappointing for everyone, gamblers, horsemen, connections, when everyone feels like the best horse won the race and is taken down. We felt like we were the best horse that day, and the other horse was going to finish second all along, Warrior's Charge, on that day. And, we were very disappointed, but we were able to kind of keep our spirits up because we were so elated with how well our horse ran. And that's really the bottom line. We came home and regrouped here in Louisville, and we had the Salvatore Mile as an option. Thought it might be too quick back with the shipping and everything. But Pirate, as he is wont to do, just trained brilliantly throughout. And every day he was brilliant, and we decided to go back, and it worked out perfectly for us.
Unbelievable. And he comes back in this spot, and this was a good group. I read through the field on Friday and as part of the weekend preview, I think I was pretty open about about rooting for you to get that win back, and that's the way it played out. And really, he ran almost an identical race, in essence, that he had run in the Islin.
Yeah, very similar. The pace was softer in the Islin, and it almost ended up being a match race with Warrior's Charge that day. The nice thing about yesterday's race is that he did show people that that he could rate behind a faster pace.
Yeah.
Wind of Change it was that went out very quickly. 22 and change, 45 and change, and very strong pace. Pirate was in the clear on the outside, and Jorge Vargas just did a brilliant job of keeping him in the clear, moving at the right time, and he really responded, and it was just great to see him kick clear in the end, and no inquiry sign on the boards, no nothing, but to be able to celebrate.
Now, he broke his maiden, if we go back to, the early part of his career, he broke his maiden at Ellis, going the mile. And, this is, I think the, is this the, no, I guess he went a mile one other time, I guess, before he broke his maiden, because he had two starts at a mile. And, clearly, Monmouth gets along with him, and Vargas too. But, you know, this is a horse that has kept good company. And talk a little bit about, how you ended up, because there was a lot of West Coast tie-ins to Pirate's Punch.
Yeah, sure. So the trainer, Billy Morey, bought the horse as a yearling for the current owners who've had him all along. Phil Bongiovanni,
right?
Craig Drager and Dan League, and they're all California guys. And the horse started out on the West Coast, showed a lot of promise as a two-year-old. Got hurt. I think that was his other mile race, was his last race as a two-year-old. Got hurt in that race. Ended up coming back with Jeff Mullins to Kentucky last spring, and after the horse had had surgery and just wasn't running well, they gelded him, put blinkers on him, and ran him for maiden 30 claiming at Ellis Park. And Jeff Mullins' stable was getting ready to move back to Del Mar for the summer, and it just so happened that Billy Morey recommended me to the owners, and it just couldn't have worked out any better. The day that Pirate won at Ellis, I had a horse running that day. That horse won, got to meet Phil and his son Nick, who he refers to as his racing manager. And so obviously they had a good feeling about me because I'd won one that day. They didn't know me from Adam otherwise. And they came and met me at the barn, I believe the following day. We talked about it, and I'm so fortunate that he decided to give me Pirate at that time. And he was just coming off the maiden 30 win at Ellis, but the first few days I got to train him and watch him train, I just felt like he was a stake horse all along. The way he moved and handled himself. And, I got him just at the right time. He had just broke his maiden, got his confidence back. And, it's just been he's been on a steady upward spiral ever since.
You know, you tried him in the Super Derby, and then later on in the Mineshaft and even the Foster. And, through that sequence from last summer and into the fall and then this year, it does seem like he's become that much more rateable. And has that been a project in particular in the mornings with him? How is that, or is it partly maturity? What's gone into that?
I think it's mostly just the horse and his confidence, and he's just a really, really smart horse. And he's rated kindly in some other races, and even though he's been on the lead because he's so fast so many times, every jockey that's been on him says he's very rateable, very kind to ride. It just, appearance-wise, it probably looks like he maybe wasn't at times, but he's always rated very well. We took the blinkers off him after the Super Derby, and he rated really kindly in his only race at Keeneland when he got second. Beat ahead by Grey Magician in a real salty allowance at Keeneland last fall, and rated kindly that day and finished. But it was, yesterday was the first time that he's had to rate and won the race. So that was that was obviously very encouraging, and kind of the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Well, it also raises the question from what you're seeing and coming out of this, what's his best? What's his best distance? He's a Shanghai Bobby out of a Malibu Moon mare, originally bred by Stone Street, and was 90,000 as a Keeneland yearling. Do you get a sense? I mean, he's gone the mile and the eighth in the Foster, was as far as he's gone, and he's also sprinted. What do you sense as he grows, and especially with you being Louisville based, you're over at the Spectrum, but the one turn mile at Churchill, a little different than the way a two turn mile is traditionally run or typically run. Some thoughts about his as he matures. You got plenty of time with him now as a gelding, so you got all kinds of options to play with him as he becomes an older horse next year.
Certainly. Well, we've always talked about, we felt like his strength, he runs the turns brilliantly. He's an excellent turn runner. So we've kind of tried to stay away from the one turn miles. And unfortunately, the horse has handled so many different tracks but he just doesn't relish Churchill at all. And that's what happened in the Foster that day. Mike Smith, it was his first time on him, but he said that Pirate was stumbling all the way down the backside. He just really struggled with it. He ran poorly at Churchill before I got him. He did run one good race last fall, got beat ahead by Night Ops in an allowance race, but Robbie Alvarado was aboard him that day and said he really struggled with the track even that day, even though he ran second. So, unfortunately, being in Louisville and having a house across the street from Churchill Downs, our best horse doesn't like Churchill Downs, but he certainly run well everywhere else he's been. So as far as the distance, I think the horse is very effective at a mile, mile 16th, and I think he would be effective at a mile and an eighth as well. He's always galloped out really well in these races. Even yesterday, galloped out, looked like strongly. So I think any of those races, I think two turns is an advantage for him because of how well he runs the turns. But at this point, he's running so well, I would be inclined to try him at a one-turn mile if we felt like there was a race that suited him.
I suppose. When's the Fayette?
That comes up October, the second week of October, I believe. But at this point, talking with the owners prior to this race and kind of on the path we were on, we were kind of hoping that if we were to run another big race yesterday, that we would go on to the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And as of this morning, we're going to get him back home tomorrow. And if everything checks out and he's doing fantastic, our plan is to run there and just train him up to the race. He's always run really well fresh. He's a horse that puts a lot into his training and gets a lot out of it. And that's our plan was to kind of sandwich these two races together if it worked out, and then train up to the Breeders' Cup. So fingers crossed, that's where we're headed.
I love it. And that's gotta be a perfect scenario for you. How much nicer could this have worked out?
Not any nicer so far, that's for sure. I'm anxious to get him home and see him. It's such a weird time we're living in, watching, having your best horse on the road and watching him on. I watched the race yesterday on my iPad in the car at Keeneland at the sale. It's a bizarre experience, but I would like to just express, my sincere gratitude and thanks to Pat McBurney, who so many people know and love at Monmouth, a great guy, and him and his crew just took great care of Pirate both times. And it takes a lot to entrust someone with your best horse and with a horse like this, and they just couldn't have taken better care of him in his time over at Monmouth, and I'm really appreciative of that. And we're anxious to get him home and spoil the hell out of them, and probably go through a couple hundred bags of carrots this week, and get them freshened up, and get ready for the biggest race of my career.
I was going to say you have not had a cup starter, I don't think.
I have not. No, I have not.
Brushed by a Star. That's who comes to mind. That might have been a Distaff type. And, it's funny.
Right.
I'm just thinking.
I ran in the Kentucky Oaks in the third year of my career back in 2005 with a filly named Brugula. But I've never made it to the Derby or the Breeders' Cup. We've been close a few times here and there, but no, never. We've run in some grade ones, and I have one grade one placing. Moonlit Stroll was third in the Humana Distaff, beating a couple next year a few years back. Talking about getting ready for the Breeders' Cup is a pretty exciting time for our stable, to be sure.
Well, and I just looked it up because I had a sneaking suspicion, and indeed, you do okay shipping into Monmouth Park because Brushed by a Star won the Molly Pitcher.
That's correct. Yeah, I did. I was actually stabled for a few years at Monmouth in the just before 2010, I really loved my time over at Monmouth. I really enjoyed the area there, the horse racing fans there. It was a fun lifestyle, but moved back to Kentucky full time, and but I've always enjoyed Monmouth and the racing there. And you were talking earlier about the history of the Salvator Mile, and just that so many of those races have such great histories. And it was a huge thrill when we did win the Molly Pitcher. You know, all the famous mares that have won that race, and then now winning, almost winning the Islin, and then now winning the Salvator Mile. And we had been second in the Islin once before. Brother Bobby ran second to Gotcha Gold the year that they had the Breeders' Cup at Monmouth and in the Islin. So we have 2 seconds in the Islin to show for our efforts. But
that's pretty
it's really
funny.
Nice to add the Salvator Mile to our repertoire.
Well, I got to mention, you know, because I've said to everybody last week when I went through that field and you came up, you had been referenced earlier in the week, of course, when we were with Blaine Wright and we celebrated his win in the Long Acres Mile. And he talked about, you know, working for you and, you know, your Long Acres Mile win as well. And kind of fun, the 2 Mondays in a row to have you know, to have Blaine and now you.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm excited for Blaine to get his he grew up at Long Acres, and for him to get his Long Acres Mile victory, I know how much that means to him, and he's been so close the last couple of years. So, and I know what it meant to me early in my career, and winning it for such a patron of the sport, Mr. Herman Sarkowski at the time, was a huge thrill for him, and it's something, it's a day that I'll never forget, for sure.
Well, and you you started at Exhibition, right?
My father is still training up at Hastings Park, yes, which was, of course, Exhibition Park for many years. And I officially started back as his assistant at Emerald Downs in 2000. And went out on my own in 2003 at Oaklawn that winter, but spent the first four or five years of my career with horses out at Emerald Downs, and also a Midwest string. We were at Arlington a couple summers here in Kentucky as well, and then branched out from there, left the West Coast behind, but still follow it very closely. And as I said, my dad's 84 and still training at Hastings Park and doing. Had the champion 2-year-old up there last year at 83, and dad's in the Hall of Fame up there, and
sure,
and so yeah, so I'm very, very proud of my Northwest roots. Enjoyed watching the Seahawks beat the Patriots last night, so it was kind of the capper to a perfect day.
And a great weekend, no doubt about it. And you know, and then I reference it all the time, particularly around Derby time. Obviously this year was going to be a non public event, but the famous, you know, Grant Forster Derby party at the house is, you know, that's bigger. That's bigger than, you know, than the galas at night. There's no bigger invite, and of course almost everybody's welcome.
Of course, yes, we don't turn too many away. That's for sure.
Well, how did you deal with Derby this year?
Well, we had a good time. We tried to be as careful as possible. We probably ended up having about just 30 people over at the house on race day, but we did our normal pools that we do, and including the famous Shammy Davis pool at the house. And we had some live music. My girlfriend had a couple of members of her band from New Orleans came up, and they played Saturday night. And so we tried to carry on the tradition as best we could. We were probably the safest house in Louisville that week with the National Guard all around us. And the protesters came out, were very respectful. They came, they made their point, and they left, and nobody did anything out of line. They were, as I said, very respectful. So they, you know, it couldn't have gone off any smoother. It was probably the best Derby weather we've had in many years, of course, and nobody was allowed to come. So, yeah, it's just a weird time for everybody, but we tried to carry on our traditions the best we could, and we're looking forward to hopefully things being back to somewhat normal next May.
Now, exactly. That's everybody's hope. But you know, I'm sure people can tell when you start mentioning fairgrounds and the winter season and your background going back to the Northwest. And I reference repeatedly one of the most popular horsemen wherever he goes. You know, you're kind of the next generation in that group that we talk about when whatever trainer it might be wins, everybody wins. And you know, Scooter Dickey for years was held that distinction. And and any of the shearers, all of the shearers, Merrill and the late Richie and Gary, there's certain people, and for those that are on Twitter, you can just always tell who the most popular and well respected and well liked people are on backstretches. And when people that you were stabled with 15 years ago, you see people congratulating other other horsemen, and Grant is one of those without a doubt.
Well, I really appreciate that. I was I've been very fortunate in the game to have some great times and some wonderful people that have helped me along the way, my parents, and instilled a lot in me. And I've been very fortunate, and I've loved doing what I do, and I've loved traveling to all the different places. In the social media world we have now, it's fun that you're able to reconnect with people, as you said, that you maybe haven't seen for a long time. And fun to have to root for each other and have a following. And I think yesterday's victory was very popular on several levels, just because of how well the horse ran last time, and probably didn't deserve to lose. And everybody loves a good redemption story. So for both our jockey and our horse and our owners and just everyone involved, I think it was a very, very popular victory just for that alone.
You said about the sale, and obviously you're kind of in the wheelhouse. I'm probably taking you away from some bidding, but talk a little bit about Team Forster and what you're seeing and what you're doing at the sale. Certainly. In fact, I'll direct people: Team Forster, not Foster, Forster with an R. TeamForster.net. And you see the Team Forster ownership entity, but Grant also happy to take on clients. What are you seeing, and what are you impressed with right now? This is sort of the most fun part of the Keeneland sale.
Yeah, definitely. We're a second week kind of operation when it comes to the Keeneland sale. We bought a nice Palace, hopefully a nice Palace Malice filly last evening, one of the towards the end of the sale. And we put together our syndicates every year for this. We've put together a couple of claiming syndicates this past year as well, and gotten a little more into that. It looks like it's a great time to buy yearlings, and we've bought one so far. And we take on for a small amount. We paid $20,000 for the filly yesterday. You mentioned Brush by a Star, who was kind of our poster child. We paid $10,000 for her, and made a little over $400,000 with her, and sold her for $400,000. So we've been fortunate with a few of them over the years that we've had a lot of success with. And we've got people involved from everywhere, from California to through Arkansas, Mississippi, Boston, the West Coast, Seattle and Vancouver, Chicago. So it's a pretty vast array of people, and it makes for great fun when we all are able to get together at the races and enjoy each other's company. And of course the Derby party is central to that every year. Everybody, a lot of our owners come and travel for that and have a big time. So as I said, hopefully we can get back to that next year. But yeah, we're always willing to take on new people and get new people involved. And we're not investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a pretty minimal investment, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, and you know, we should let people know, you know, the options, where they might live, and the proximity to where you run. And during the winter, it'll be fairgrounds, and you'll send some to Oaklawn, Churchill, Keeneland, Indiana, Ohio. You know, pretty much that, you know, that swath. Ellis Park in the summer. You know, plus you'll obviously ship to opportunities. But you know, anybody that, you know, that wants to come to the racetrack when we can come to racetrack. On a regular basis again, and easily. But if you're an owner, owners generally are being let in. You know, these are the, where am I missing that you'll send out?
No, that's pretty much covered.
That's it.
Fairgrounds
okay.
in the winter, and then we try to hit Oaklawn on the way back from Fairgrounds to Kentucky. We've had I spent several winters at Oaklawn, and we've got lots of great friends in Arkansas and several clients that are Arkansas based, and that's a beautiful time to hit Oaklawn in that late March, early April time of year, of course, and on our way back to Kentucky, and Keeneland, Churchill, and then the summer months here, we're kind of going all over trying to find the best spot for each horse before gearing up, you know, with the Churchill, Keeneland, Churchill in the fall, and then back to New Orleans again in the winter. So it's a great fun circuit. It's you know, I love living in Louisville, and I love living in New Orleans in the winter. They're both great places to live and to you know, lots of stuff to do. Obviously the food isn't bad in either place, particularly New Orleans, and it's a fun, New Orleans in particular is a fun place for everyone, owners to get to come watch their horses and have a great time in the winter, and obviously with all the big racing here in Kentucky, and we're just in a great place in Kentucky racing right now with the with the casinos, the instant racing machines. Kentucky racing is really on an upward spiral right now, and I really think it's the place to be.
Well, and for those, you know, that whose interest is perked up, again, teamforster.net, and you can also follow Team Forster on Twitter, Team Forster with the number one, Team Forster One, and Grant has also got his own, you know, personal Twitter, which is Grant Forster. So get in touch with Grant, visit the website, see what they've got. Number one, you'll be with a fun group. You couldn't have more fun, and as you can tell. So I want to really, you know, really plug this. You know, same thing. I brought up this with Blaine too, who's actually looking for some new, you know, for some new clients and people to come in with him. And you know, anybody that listens to the show knows, a big advocate of spreading horses around, and you know, there should be plenty of horses, you know, for every good horseman. Unfortunately, there's too many horses and too few hands, but you couldn't do better than to have a Grant Forster, a Blaine Wright training for you. So, Grant.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Steve. Those are very kind words, and yeah, we're always looking to get more people involved in the game for sure.
Well, I am rooting for you, as you know, and looking forward now to seeing you at Keeneland with Pirate's Punch, and he's got the profile to win a Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He's exactly the right kind of horse.
Well, I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself. We've got 7 weeks, and you know, as they say, we're going to have to put him in bubble wrap, and I may have to bring him over to the house and let him live in the living room for the next 7 weeks so nothing happens to him. But now we're going to get him back home, and hopefully he'll continue to train as he always has, just brilliantly, and we couldn't be more excited to be talking about the prospects of going to the Breeders' Cup. It's a really exciting time for all of us.
Well, and the best part is, you know, he's hidden over there. You'll have to search for him over at the Spectrum among all those Maker horses.
Probably nobody even notices. We'll try to stay under the radar as much as we can, and hopefully we'll be talked about after the race more than before.
What's it like having Cherie back at the Spectrum?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah, she's got a lot of nice looking horses over there. She's got a lot of nicely bred young horses, and this is just a great place to train. I've trained over here many years, and the surface is excellent, and horses just do well. It's nice and quiet here, and you know, obviously you mentioned Mike Maker, ship, you know, is in the top five in the country for money won just about every year the last several years. And, horses ship out of here and win all over the country. And it's been a great place for me to train for many, many years.
Well, it's not as quiet with Cherie back.
Well, I'll take the fifth on that one.
Grant Forster, everybody, and Pirates Punch, who, just like Imprimis, comes right back. And last week it was Joe O getting that Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint win after the DQ at Saratoga. And Grant sent Pirates Punch right back to Monmouth with the help of Pat McBurney, who does do a great job, in good hands there, and wins the Salvatore Mile. Grant, we'll see you at Keeneland.
Let's hope so. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
An absolute pleasure. Good luck the rest of the way at Keeneland, too. What babies are impressing you from the new sires?
We looked at bidding on a Practical Joke yesterday, and those,
no,
like his
no
daddy
chance.
Into Mischief, they're just gorgeous horses. And, you can see by how well they're selling. I mean,
yeah,
he looks like the next thing. They're just beautiful, beautifully made horses. And that was probably the one that stood out more than anything to me. That I looked at a few of them, hoping that they would start to get down into our price range yesterday. But not yet. But I would say that he's probably he jumps out off the top of my head. Very, very, very good-looking horses.
Well, they're all selling for six figures. I mean, even into yesterday, 260, 200, 150. You're competing against Barry Schwartz for Vinny Viola.
We thought we had a shot at one maybe yesterday in our kind of $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 range, and she brought 80. So yeah, they're still quite strong.
Well, you gotta kind of look, hit them where they ain't, as we Willie Keeler said.
Exactly.
Go find somebody in the back barns that nobody's noticing.
That's right. That's right. We have to try to not be so fashionable when it comes to that stuff, and then try to find the low hanging fruit. Hopefully.
I love it, Grant Forster, everybody. Grant Forster on Twitter, Team Forster 1 on Twitter, and teamforster.net. And as you can tell, really pleased and excited for Grant to have Pirates Punch snap back, and for Phil Bongiovanni and his partners. And you know, Phil's been on the show talking about contest success, and I saw where they were beside themselves to win the Salvatore, and got to be excited for Breeders' Cup. We'll stay here. We only got about 5-6 minutes to wrap up, and that was fun. One of my favorite people. Every time his name comes up, I just kind of want to make sure people understand how they can have fun and be successful. Doesn't have nothing but respect for the big outfits, but guys like this, like Grant Forster, come on, you put a decent horse and any kind of horse in his hands, and he's going to get the most out of it. Pretty cool. You know, speaking of those practical jokes, I told you we'll have Nicole Russo tomorrow to summarize what went on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're well underway here, second half of book four at Keeneland. Practical Joke is the story among the first crop stallions that aren't named, among the first crops. I'm sort of cross-purposing the stallions that have got runners out already. Another nice weekend, actually, for Nyquist. We'll talk to Cassie tomorrow about Gretzky the Great. Not only did Nyquist get another grade one, another big hit, but another grade one, but there was also Not This Time and the Ralph Biamonte winner in the Woodbine Cares on Saturday. Dirty Dangle. Dirty Dangle. So, you know, any success on the racetrack, you know, in proximity and here during the sale goes a long way. But Nyquist scoring, back to the first crop topic, these practical jokes, here's a snapshot of what's been going on. And a lot of these, you know, I see some end user names, but there's also plenty of pinhook activity going on. Yesterday, 150, 170, 165, 115, 100, 130. The one that the Grant just mentioned, HIP 1876, is who he's talking about. Albert Davis bought that one for $80,000 out of My Hopeful Heart, and a horse bred by Tom Evans, a trackside. Here's a New York bred Rosedown brought $200,000. I mentioned Vinnie Viola, $260,000 for HIP 1915. Not very many outs, and I think, let's see, only one, two, three, four, five, six, seven RNAs, but there's got to be, he's got to have sold 30 by now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Usually there's a total, but I know it's not totaling them up. Yeah, there's got to be 30 plus here, 35, and more yet to come. Seth Klarman, earlier on in book two, paid $400. For HIP 971, that would have been on Thursday. And that, is that the top? I think that's the top. There was the one for 360. Jerry Durant bought a colt. Oh, 575. Here's one. West Bloodstock for Rapoli and Viola. That's right. We talked about that one. That was, I think, on Wednesday. So practical joke, and you know, going even back to the weanlings, there was big, you know, there was the buzz. So we'll get more tomorrow from Nicole Russo and then Sid on Wednesday. And by the time we talk to Sid, we'll be halfway into book five, and there'll be just three sessions to wrap up. So we'll get a chance. As I mentioned, I did not have an opportunity to really follow too closely through the weekend. So I'll work on it and pull out some plums to talk about with Nicole tomorrow. We're just about done. There's music. Look at that. This is kind of a funny morning. Arno Delacour, Three Horsemen, Arno Delacour, Grant Forster, and Kevin Attard, plus Mig, with that completely unscripted wackiness, which was fun. Really enjoyed. Fun this morning. Hey, fun every morning. Some racing. Let's see. What do we got today? Let me see. I still got... I'm pretty sure I... Oh, for goodness sakes. I thought I had... No, I don't know where I put them. Yeah. I had not all of today's, but there we go. Now we're talking. All right. Of course, Indiana to look at today with the pick five, and starts at in race five at 4:12, and it seems approachable. 6x8, x7, x10, x8 today, and a couple of Indiana bred made the specials. dot the lineup. Parks got a good second level allowance today. Going as the ninth is the feature. Maybe a little Finger Lakes. Flakes drove by yesterday. Farmington, they've got state bred allowance. Going as the seventh, 352. Thistledown today, first level allowance, open company, mile and 40. Goes as the seventh, 350. Good luck if you're playing today. Tomorrow, Andy and Nicole Russo and much, much more. I gotta get Roger Atfield, actually. Oh, Mark Cassie, too, tomorrow. So there you go. There's a lineup. Cassie, maybe Atfield, Serling, Russo. Thanks to Case, back at the studio, and I'll talk to you in the morning. Good luck, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.